All right, I just realized that I have not done an interview in a very long time. My interview skills might be a little bit rusty, but I have a really awesome person on the phone with me right now. I actually met him, oh my God, like 6 years ago or something, so long ago, like a ridiculously long time ago, and was instantly impressed with this guy. And over the past 5 or 6 years, however long I've known him, his business has grown and it's massive, but more importantly, I've seen him grow as a man and as an individual, which I actually find more impressive, to be honest, because obviously, knowing what I do, I think men stepping into their masculinity and really owning who they are as men is super sexy, super attractive, and always, always impressive. So I have Jordan on the phone with me right now from The Art of Charm. So Jordan, thanks for being on this call with me.
Yeah, finally, Marnie, it's good to be on the program.
Yeah, no, I love it. So I wanted to talk to you because, as I said in my little intro about you, like you are somebody that I would say really owns who he is and owns his masculinity. And I would love to hear a little bit from you about maybe some of the steps you've taken to get to that place.
Sure. I mean, it's funny because I never thought of myself as that type of guy at all.
Really?
No, when I was younger, I was never like a masculine guy. I was never like own myself, comfortable in my own skin. I was never that guy. I was always like kind of insecure and like shy, and middle school, of course everyone was in middle school, like
Right.
just kind of like, what's going on? I don't know what other people are thinking of me. And then at some point I was just like, screw it. I don't care how I'm perceived by others because I can't do anything about that anymore. Like, I kind of bounced off the bottom.
Really?
And once I was like over that, I just realized, okay, maybe now that I have no stress from this, that maybe now that I feel more like I can't do anything about it, that's when I started getting popular and like making tons of friends, and people were like, man, you're so like chill and you don't give a crap about anything, and you're super laid back. And I was like, who are they even talking about right now? It's not
All
me.
right. All right. So tell me about you and dating while you were in college.
And I ended up being an exchange student in Germany for a year. And when you're an exchange student, this was sort of like being an exchange student is like a weird alternate universe where you're kind of invisible because you're like even lower than the lowliest of nerds because you're new and you can't speak German, and everyone's like, who's this weird American guy that like dresses funny? And then
Right.
after a while, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna buy cool clothes and like hang out with people like that are fun and skip school all the time. So once I started doing that, I started to learn German. And then I went back to school for like some ski trips and stuff, and like got switched into a different class with older people. And then by that time, they were like, "Oh, whoa, this kid's cool. Like he can like speak German and all this stuff." And so I ended up making a whole new circle of friends there. That's when I kind of got the hint that, you can actually manually create a social circle. You're all this social value that you think you're kind of just stuck with or not stuck with, you sort of manage that. And I started to get glimpses of that. So then when I finally went to college, I had to learn the lesson again in a hard way by having girls choose me and stuff like that. And nobody, even if the girls are cute, you don't want to be the guy who has girls choosing him instead of the other way around. Or if you have no girls, you definitely don't want to have the no power of selection, right? Because even if right now you're single and you're like, no girls like me, what you really mean is no girls like you that you are also interested in. I'm sure if you picked like a really undesirable female, she'd be like, yay, right? To any guy
Right.
listening to this. But you're just like, no, that's not what I mean. I don't want that one. I want the one
Right.
that I want. Nobody wants the old used car, like the old Toyota with like a plastic front panel. They want a
Right.
Maserati. They want the new one. And everyone thinks they're entitled to that. And so I was like, huh, okay, in order to get that, in order to be sort of entitled to that, quote unquote, I need to be worth what I need to deserve what I want. And
Okay.
so in college, I ended up coming up with a lot of ways to figure out, all right, now I need to deserve what I want. What is social value? What does this mean? How does this work? What are people looking at? What are the channels people are looking at? And a lot of it came down to like, whose sort of quote unquote realities were stronger. I remember being, for example, in a German class, And there was this really good looking sorority girl and like a really top notch, like hot chick sorority in my German class, in my business German class. And I was like, wow, this girl's like way out of my league. And she's like, you know, super smoking hot and probably has dudes beating down her door. And she's like outgoing and fun, stuff like that. And we got put together on a project. And the whole time during the project, I was like, this girl's weird. Like, she's acting shy around me, and she's never shy in class. Like, I don't really get what's going on here. So we sort of became friends, and one day we were drinking at a party, and she was like, why didn't you ever like me in German class? And I was like,
I've done that. I've done that so many times. Well, you never paid attention to me. I had a crush on you the entire time. You didn't know.
Right. And I'm like, it didn't just not know. Even if I saw all of the signs, I would have been like, she must feel sick today because she's blushing every time I talk. Like, I was so in a mode where I talked myself out of all of that stuff constantly that it was almost like subconsciously I was just ignoring opportunities, right?
Right.
Like, I not ignoring, talking. My subconscious mind was like, hey, that girl likes you. Let's nip that in the bud right now by being a total tool.
Right.
So I did that a lot. And I remember guys that were tools getting with, like, girls that I was like, wow, that girl's really hot and classy. And a guy who was, like, a total schlep would get together with her. And I'm thinking, wow, how the heck did that happen? And then, like, a year later, I run into that same girl. And she's like, you know, hey, we should hang out sometime. And I'm like, oh, I can get these types of girls. I'm just not doing it.
Okay, so wait, explain that a little bit more, okay? Because a lot of the guys that I work with, I'm not sure if that they're not aware that girls are interested, or that they're not thinking highly enough of themselves to even put themselves in the position where girls could be interested. So can you explain a little bit more about like what it is that you were doing, and then possibly what it is that you did to change that so that you did get those girls?
Yes, let me sort of attack both prongs of that statement.
Okay.
Because right now there's guys listening that are like, oh, boo freaking who? This guy gets so many girls and she didn't even know about it.
Because that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, oh, cry me a river. All these girls throw themselves at you.
But,
like,
here's the thing. It sucks both ways because everyone's like, oh, boo freaking who, right? But the thing is, if you're in that situation, me and the lowliest of the low 400-pound obese guy who doesn't leave his mom's basement, we're in the same shoes. We both have no girls and no plans on Saturday night. And I still think that, you know, at this point in time, I still think girls don't like me, that I don't have a lot of friends because of the X, Y, and Z. That guy is dealing with the exact same situation. That's why I'm saying it's all in your head.
Right.
So, like, that guy might be playing World of Warcraft and he assumes, wow, Jordan can go out and do whatever he wants. Meanwhile, I'm on my computer playing friggin' Warcraft going, why doesn't anyone like me? Meanwhile, I have like texts. Well, we didn't text back then, but I had people, you know, hitting me up like, we should hang out. And I'm like, ah, she doesn't mean that. So I just ignore her. Right.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm rejecting her. But meanwhile, me and that same dude in the basement, we're on the exact same page. We have the exact same problems.
Okay. So then what switched for you? So how did you suddenly start noticing the signs that girls were interested in you? Because that is a problem. Like guys are unaware, or they're like, sometimes I'll go hang out with a girl and I won't know if she wants me to ask for her phone number. I won't know if I should go in for the kiss. So what made you realize that you could and should be going after these girls?
Well, yeah, I kind of want to start off with saying also that us guys, myself included, we're pretty dense when it comes to reading signals from girls. Some of us have like a real issue with it. Like I was in college where I was literally, a girl would say, we should hang out. And I'd be like, yeah, right. She doesn't mean that. And then not do anything about it. That's me actively like self-sabotaging. And a lot of guys are doing that to themselves right now.
Okay.
And I remember the girl I dated for 5 years back in the day, she was always asking me to hang out. So I always brought my roommate who I thought was a good fit for her. And he eventually walked her home a bunch from like parties and stuff. And he's like, I keep trying to make a move. And she's like, not interested. And then one day he came back to the crib and was like, I walked Catherine home and she's like, so is Jordan single? Why doesn't Jordan like me? And he's like, I think she likes you, man. And I was like, oh, no, now I have to face it. And I ended up dating her for like 5 years. I almost married this girl.
Really?
Right? So, but that's how hard it had to get hit. I had to be hit over the head with it because I was, even when I had all the signs, I was trying to push her off on someone else. And it's not because she wasn't desirable. She was awesome. And I just like didn't want to deal with the tension of having a relationship. But us guys are pretty dense, you know. Girls here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marnie, right? Like, guys and girls are at a bar. Everyone's drinking and having fun. I'm standing by the bar as a guy trying to get a drink, and a girl comes up and stands like 3 feet away from me, sipping her drink, like with her friend, and is talking. And I look over and I see them and they see me, but I don't say anything. I turn back to the bar and I grab my drink. That girl, there's a good chance that she'll go back to her friends and be like, well, we stood over there and he didn't like talk to us. So I guess he doesn't want to talk to us. I guess he's not interested. Meanwhile, me and all my me and all my dude friends are like, what? Those girls just stood next to us. But like, that wasn't like a, but for girls, they're like, hello, I'm here with my girls. We're hanging out right next to you, giving you every opportunity to talk to us. And meanwhile, I'm just like, there's some people standing over there. That's all that blipped up my radar.
You're like, she's cute. That's awesome. Okay, now I'm going to go back to my friends and have a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I have done that a million times. In fact, I tell a story about my first one-night stand, and that is the beginning part of the story where, like, I say that I go stand around him with one of my girlfriends, and I give him looks over my shoulder, sipping my drink, but he doesn't seem to notice me, so I get super self-conscious and insecure that he's not into me, and then at the end of the night, he ends up coming up to me, and we go home, and I have my first ever one-night stand, but in the very beginning, I was like, what am I doing? Like, how come he's not noticing me? Why can't he see me just sipping and twirling my hair? And it makes you really insecure. You're like, that guy doesn't like me. So you move on to the next or leave because you're so upset.
Exactly. And guys don't even realize they're rejecting people. I was with a student on a boot camp recently, and there was this awesome, really cute girl with like, she had like a really edgy style. My client was really edgy as well. And I was like, this girl is totally your type. And he's like, oh my God, totally, right? Yeah. So she comes over to get coffee and we're standing in line as well. And she looks right at him and smiles. And I'm like, you're so in right now. He got a little freaked out and blushed and looked at the ground and then started talking to me and then like whipped out his phone. And I was like, ooh, and I saw her out of the corner of my eye, and she just looked down at the ground and opened up her backpack. And what was going through her head was, oh, wow, I totally just smiled at that guy. And he was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel rejected. Meanwhile, my client was like, oh, my God, I'm not ready for this. So he freaked out because she was super hot, looked at his phone, and she thinks she's rejected. He's freaking out because he doesn't know what to do. So him and I had to have a little chat about that.
And so what did you tell him to do?
Yeah, well, what did I tell him to do is I said, use that nervous energy that crops up and just, instead of having that sort of, like, flinch reflex, right, like, to use a boxing analogy, if you're going to flinch, don't flinch by, like, closing your eyes and scrunching your face up because you're still going to get punched in the face. Flinch in a way that either causes you to dodge or causes you to cover, right? So, like, in this example, if you're going to flinch by being like, ugh, and looking at your phone and ignoring her, try to reprogram yourself. And we have a ton of drills and exercises that we do at The Art of Charm to, like, reprogram your brain this way. Now the flinch is when she smiles at him and he goes, holy crap, that girl's hot, I don't know what to do. He goes, hey. He just says the first thing that's on his mind, even if it's nice backpack, you know, like, whatever it is, first thing on his mind. And a couple of days later in the boot camp, he saw a similar, you know, girl that he was interested in. And the girl had like a Tinkerbell backpack, like a cool, like edgy, blacked out airbrush version or whatever. And he immediately sort of freaked out when she looked at him and he goes, awesome backpack. Also, I think we have the same haircut because they both had like half of their head shaved. And she was like, we totally do. And then they started talking and hitting it off. And he had like a tattoo of like a Disney character. So they just vibed immediately. And he's like, I almost looked at the ground and whipped out my phone again because that was my first initial reaction. And he's like, nope. Not doing it. Like, the drills did their job.
I love that. So, can you actually give one of the drills? Because I like the examples that you're saying. I understand to, like, just spit the first thing that comes out of your mouth. But sometimes a lot of guys are like, literally, my brain is blank. I have nothing to say. So can you give me one of the drills that you tell your guys?
Sure. One of the drills that we do, it's a partner drill. And it actually builds on some other drills and exercises that we do in class that require like a video camera and some other props and stuff like that and a female instructor. But one of the drills that guys can actually try at home if they want to is you get a partner and your partner causes – basically you walk around outside or in a mall or whatever. It's called Hergo. And your partner will pick girls that you have to approach no matter what. Like, no matter what. Even if all you do is go, hey, do you know what time it is? you know, that is the only thing you have to do. Or do you have directions? You don't have to say anything clever. All you have to do is approach, but you have to absolutely do it. And the thing is, your partner won't throw you under the bus too hard because he knows that you're going to pick the next girl for him to go and approach.
Right.
And the thing is, your approach can be awful. It can be the worst thing in the world. You can have the worst body language in the world. You can have the worst opener, like whatever. You can say the dumbest thing in the world. It doesn't matter. Because what this does is, since he's looking around for girls for you to approach, you don't get any warning. Right. So, right. And that's just like real life, where you might see a girl and you're like, oh my God, there's that girl. And your instinct is whip out the phone. Well, you don't have that option in Hergo. You have 2-3 seconds that you have to approach this girl. So when he's like, her, go, you walk up and you're like, hey, do you know where I am right now? And you're like, that was stupid. But meanwhile, you don't have any time to even think about or judge what you're saying, because you can't talk yourself out of it. There's not enough time.
Right, and so, it's not outcome-driven, because then you're kind of just like messing around with your friend, having fun, challenging yourself, and you're not so focused on, okay, she's going to say yes, she's going to talk to me, what do I say next? It really is just, I have to say hi, or I have to say one word to her, and then my job is done.
Exactly.
That's an awesome exercise. Like, anybody who's listening now, I actually would strongly recommend going out and grabbing a friend and doing that exercise. Or even on your own, if you can challenge yourself enough and push yourself enough to do that by yourself, that's like an awesome exercise. I think it's great.
It's super solid. And what it really does is it does a few things. One, it causes you to approach without thinking about something, which is important, because the reason that homeboy whipped out his phone and looked at the ground was because he didn't have a game plan for what he was doing. It was like right before the first day of boot camp, we're just at the coffee shop, and he was like, ugh, I don't know what to do when I see a cute girl. So now when he sees a cute girl, he's like, hey. And there's no genius, clever crap going on there. It just says hello. But that's the thing, is the option, even if you think that that's terrible, one, it's fine, because that's how normal human beings usually interact, right?
Right.
But two, it, the other option is reject her outright by looking at your phone and looking at the floor. And that sucks, because then you're screwed. Because even if you put your phone away and then you turn back to her and you're like, hey, she's like, wait, what's going on right now? Like, before you didn't want to talk to me, and now you do?
Now
like,
you do.
This is weird. And then, you know, a lot of girls who are really astute will be like, oh, were you like scared before? That's lame. That's like a very wussy reaction. I looked at you and smiled, I'm 5'4" and you like freak out and whip out your phone. Now you want to chat because you have some cool thing you want to tell me.
Exactly.
That doesn't work out well.
No, I love everything that you're saying, because I think that that's a really good message to get across to guys. Because what I actually always say to them is that you're rejecting yourself before you're even giving her a chance to possibly reject you. So I like how what you're doing is reprogramming the brain so that your natural response isn't to shy away or focus on the possible rejection that could occur. Instead, you're like, screw it. I'm going to go outward instead of go inward and just say hi. So there is a chance for possible opportunity. And then later on, you know, in your boot camps and in my programs, you learn more skills that you can continue that conversation afterwards. But that's that first step right there. I think it's awesome.
Exactly. Because what we try to do, what the primary goal is on the first day of boot camp, is we need to reprogram you so that your initial like fight or flight stuff that you're doing that's scaring people away / causing you to self-sabotage, we need to get rid of those bad habits first.
Yeah.
Then we can work on body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, the way you sit, stand, walk, talk, rapport, connection. Like, all that stuff comes later. You can have those skills down pat, but if someone looks at you and smiles and you go, ugh, and you choke on your freaking cereal, and then you run out of the coffee shop because you're freaking out, then you're sunk. You can be the best connector in the world, but if you can't start the conversation because your initial gut reaction, your flinch is bad, you're out of luck. It's like the boxer who closes his eyes when he sees a punch coming in. That guy doesn't last long because he gets hit in the face a lot, right?
Right. So this is the first thing that you did for yourself. Like, so, because you were talking about how you didn't really, not that you didn't notice the signs, but you kind of didn't want to notice them, because if you did notice them, then you would have to act on it, and then you would have to show her that you are more, and you might think that you would disappoint her. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, there's some of that, and also, like, a lot of the signals I just didn't pick up on because I just had limited experience and was sort of, like, rationalizing my way out of it. One of my big turning points was when I met AJ, who's my business partner here at The Art of Charm and my co-host on the show. He grew up with a sister, grandma, and an aunt raising him. So he's surrounded by women all the time, right? Growing up. So when we would hang out, I remember one specific example where we were at a bar on my birthday. This is like the first or second night we ever hung out. And we were sitting, I was facing a table of like four girls and he was facing me. So his back was to them. And he was like, these girls behind me want to talk to us. And I was like, what are you talking about? You can't even see them. And he's like, trust me, they're talking a little bit too loud for the table. They're saying like provocative statements. They're like aiming it sort of in our direction. I guarantee you they want to talk to us. He's like, are they cute? And I'm like, yeah, they're kind of cute. And so, of course, we were with a couple of like friends who were had too much to drink. And they were like, yeah, you girls are fucking hot. Like totally blew it up for us and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay, that sucks. So they sort of ruined that for us back then. We didn't know what to do about that. So we grab our coats and we're like getting ready to leave. And as we're getting ready to leave, I remember AJ looks at the table of girls and goes, and the girl, like one of the girls looks up and goes, where are you guys going? And I was like, okay, he was obviously right about that because now they kind of want to like hang on, like follow us out of the bar or something.
Right.
I don't really know. And then another girl was like, oh my God, I just got new underwear and I don't even, like, no one's going to see it. Or some, like, super slutty sounding comment, I remember. Jeez. And our drunk friends were like, we got to go because we had to take them out before we got kicked out because our friends were just out of control. And we got out of the bar and I was like, okay, I need to know what you know. Because not only did you not even have to look at those girls to know they were interested, but they were clearly super interested in us. We didn't do anything. We didn't have any magical stuff. We didn't even talk to them. Like, how come, how did you know, and how were they interested? And he's like, dude, I got a lot of stuff to tell you. So we went out every night for a year, six nights a week, and we people watched, and we talked to girls, and we approached, and we blew it up, and, like, screwed up tons, and I screwed up even more than that, and, you know, and
you
he
have
was like,
to.
Here's what's
That's
going
how you
on.
Learn. Wait, so tell me, so like now I'm really intrigued, okay, because I'm a woman and I know the signs that I give when I'm interested, but tell me more, like tell me more, what is it that AJ knew? Tell me like five signs or five things that you were missing before that now you know are like surefire signs that a girl's interested in you. Interested okay. in initiating conversation. Doesn't mean she wants to go home and screw you. It means that she's interested in you talking to her and seeing if there's something there.
Right, okay. First thing that comes to mind is the proximity that we talked about before. It's really easy to rationalize your way out of this because you're like, well, we're at a crowded bar. Of course she walked up next to me to get a drink. But she's a girl. She can ask any dude to get her a drink. She can go to the other end of the bar to get herself a drink. And we usually say round up to 100. And what that means is if you see a girl next to you and she's ordering at the bar, maybe there's like a 50% chance that she's getting the drink there because there's a good spot at the bar for her to get the bartender's attention. Maybe she's getting a drink there because she wants to talk to you. Maybe it's a 50-50 chance either way. Well, screw it. Round up to 100 and 100% chance she's interested in talking to you. Because here's what can happen. You either talk to her and find out she is interested in you, win. You talk to her and find out she's not interested in you. Oh, well, doesn't matter. You tried. Or you don't talk to her at all, you never find out, and you probably reject her if she is interested in you, right? So exactly. You have literally nothing to lose because otherwise you're never going to know. So round up to 100. Another thing will be I was at a bar once in New York, and some girl like dropped her like a makeup thing or some sort of – it might have been a pen. I don't even know. And it like rolled all the way on the floor to my feet. And I looked at her, and she like looked down at it, and then she came over and bent over and picked it up. And I was like, hello. And she was like, oh, blah, 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 whatever. And we started talking. And then my friend Johnny, who's also an instructor here at the Art of Charm, was like, that was her way of getting your attention. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Like, why didn't she just come up and talk to me? And he's like, because that's not her job as a girl. Like, as
so
a woman, it's not her job
at
all.
At you.
She literally threw an object at me to get my attention. I've had girls dump water on my back. And I'm like, what is this? You know, bitch's problem, like, you know, like thinking that in my head.
Yeah.
And I've had female friends and female instructors here at the Art of Charm. She goes, no, she totally did that on purpose. She's been eyeballing you all night. She came up as soon as you sat down and like dumped a bunch of water right down your back. She just ordered the water from the bar. She probably planned to spill that on you for like the last like 5 minutes.
Okay. I've never done that, but I have thrown things at guys.
Yeah. I mean, before. The water thing, I'd say you're borderline crazy. If you do something like that, it's a little much.
Yeah, but still, if I was younger, I can see myself doing it. I actually have girlfriends who I know would still do that now, for sure,
yeah.
Just to get attention. Because it's like, I'm sorry, but we are told not to approach. We're told not to be the aggressors. We're told that if we are, we're the masculine ones and it emasculates men, blah, 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 blah. So many women are afraid to be the aggressors, or they're tired of being the aggressors, or they really just want to be feminine. So they do. They like work around that scenario so they can create creative scenarios in which they can slightly approach where they're not really approaching. So I think that absolutely women do that. I totally agree with you.
You have to do that. I mean, that's the thing, and it's totally right. Women are not supposed to, in air quotes, be the approacher. They're not supposed to be in the masculine role. But they can't just – the problem that then that's what you get is then you're just stuck with whoever approaches you, which is a bummer, because a lot of times you don't want what's coming to you, just as us guys don't want right. to settle for the girls that come after us, right?
Absolutely.
So you try to skew the odds in your favor by doing something that makes it think that it's our idea to approach you. It's the old, like, damsel in distress, like, oh no, I don't know where this is. Can I get some directions? She probably grew up in that city and doesn't need directions. She just wants you to start talking to her so she can flirt with you, but she can't be like, hey, you look really cute today, because she's a girl and it'll seem really weird, and it's sociologically, you know, socially not acceptable for her to do that. But if she's like, do you know where Times Square is? And you find out she lives like three blocks away from around. There.
Exactly.
You know, it's a different
exactly,
story.
You're absolutely right. Okay, so that's two. So let's go with, give me a couple more.
Okay. So we had proximity. We had talking a little bit too loud. This is a very nuanced one. It's not a beginner level one, but it's one that just came to my mind because we just talked about the girls at the table on my birthday. When women want to get your attention, one of the things that they'll do is they'll have a conversation that's just a teensy bit too loud for the environment. And it's funny because, Marty, you have to admit, you guys do this and you don't even have to tell each other what's going on. You just know that if your friend's like, I just bought new lingerie at Victoria's Secret, it is so cute, and there's a bunch of dudes around, you're like, oh, she's sort of trying to get these dudes' attention right now.
Yeah, by talking absolutely. About
this. You don't need to be like, oh, are you trying to get those guys' attention behind you? You're like, oh my God, what is it? Is it lacy? Is it sexy? Like, you're doing that too.
Oh yeah,
right?
You're playing it up. It's called exaggerating. I've seen guys do it too. Actually, I did a little bit of an experiment with my Jordan, my husband, recently, because we were out at a bar and there was a famous actress there whose name I won't say, but she was flirting with him. She was bending over. She was talking a little bit more loudly. So I was like, let's see it, Jordan. I want to see you flirt back with her. How would you do it? Because she actually was his, like, she's my female crush and his female crush. So I'm like, oh, flirt, please do it right now. And I started watching him, and even he was over-exaggerating his movements, because that's all you have to go by in the beginning. You want to catch the other person's attention, so you talk a little bit bigger, and you do things that are a little bit more dramatic than usual. So, like, for him, he started, like, putting my sweater around his neck, and you've met him before, so you know he's not very big on his gestures, but suddenly his gestures got extra big, and his arm movement was so much more, and his voice got louder. And it was just interesting, because I think men and women do this to get attention from the opposite sex, but women absolutely do it. I have done it before. I want to look like I am having the best time ever, and I want to catch his attention. That's
right,
how I would do it.
It's the woo girl phenomenon. That's what it.
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
When it gets like really annoying is when a girl's like, woo, spring break, or like bachelorette party, right?
Right.
That's super annoying, but they're doing that because they want attention. They're not doing it because it's just that much fun. They're doing it because they want the attention. So I guess we can name that like exaggerating. There's the proximity thing.
Throwing
of objects, right. And these are really, some of these are blatant, but some of them are less so, of course. Obviously there's also, there's a few other things that girls will do. Like they'll touch you obviously a little bit more. I was having dinner with, my friend who's also a dating coach and works with me here at the Art of Charm. And we had sushi next to these two attractive psychologists at the next table. And, we realized in the middle, like our food came and one of them turned to us and goes, ooh, what did you guys get? That looks good. Actually, she started off by exaggerating and said to her friend, wow, whatever they got looks good. And I turned it around to her and said, yeah, this looks amazing. Do you want to try it before we dig in? And she was like, no, that's okay. That'd be so weird if I ate food off a stranger's plate. And I was like, no worries. We're all friends here. And then, which is like kind of funny, but not nearly as funny as the one thought or acted like it was. Like she started laughing and then like put both hands on my arm and like kind of pushed me a little bit. Yeah. And I looked at my friend Kim and she was like, oh yeah, that woman is, like, it's like, wants you. Yeah. And so the whole night we're talking, and every time I made a joke, she would like elbow me or like put her hand on my arm and like push me a little bit. Or she would like, every point was emphasized by like her like grabbing my forearm and being like, and it's so good, you know, and like grabbing my arm and shaking it. There's stuff like that. And it doesn't have to be as blatant as that was, but women won't touch you that much unless they're interested. They might accidentally do one or two throughout a conversation, but if it's starting to be like the conversation is getting punctuated with her touching you,
right, it's where she's on. Pushing it's, you and sort of slapping you a little bit. I kind of agree with that. Unless she's like over touching you, where she's like taking you under her arm as if she's the guy. And do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do over.
If she's dominating you physically, then it's a problem.
Yeah, then it's like she's like, I see you as a woman, and you're like my gay friend right now. But that, so that's the difference there. Okay, I love these things, and most importantly, I love what you said before when you were talking about the proximity, that the first option, the first sign to look for. What you said was that if you see that, or if you see any of these signs, go for it.
Yeah,
that,
round up to 100 is what we call it at The Art of Charm. Round up to 100. If there's a 5% chance that she's interested, round it up to 100. If she walks by you twice in 5 minutes, maybe it's a coincidence, or maybe she's trying to get your attention. Round up to 100 and just go for it.
Exactly. And actually, I'm going to be honest, like this is quality information that I got out of you. So let's just go over those signs again that she is flirting or wanting to initiate conversation with you. So it's proximity, throwing things at you.
Any ruse to get your attention, right? It doesn't have to be throwing something at you, but like fake directions, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talking loudly or over-exaggerating, and then also touching you in a playful manner where she doesn't really need to be touching you, yet she is. And if she's beating you up in some way or like being playfully punchy, that's like a huge sign that she's into you. And that, I think, is like amazing, amazing information. So I think I've gotten everything out of you that I want, because I know there's a lot more, but I don't want to give away all of your goodies. But if you could tell the people that are listening a little bit about you and the Art of Charm, because I've actually sent a lot of guys to the Art of Charm that I work with, because I think that you're
including your own cousin.
I know. So yeah, I'm like pimping out my family, but I think it's a great service that you guys are doing. You guys have great information. You have Pickup Podcast, which is also phenomenal, and it's free content. But tell them more about the Art of Charm.
Sure. And it's funny that that we just brought up the psychologist example of her touching me. She literally just texted me like 2 seconds ago on my phone. That's great.
I love it.
So the Art of Charm is what we are is LA and New York based. We get clients coming in from all over the world to our residential programs. You stay here for 6 days, 3 days or 6 days at our training facility with coaches. We break down the way you sit, stand, walk, talk. So body language, vocal tonality, eye contact, teach you how to connect, rapport. We do a lot of drills, exercises, and hands-on instruction. It's a 60-hour, six-day program for the flagship. And you know, right now we've got a guy from like Denmark, a dude from Brazil, a couple of guys from Australia are here right now. There's a Canadian and another dude from like Chicago. So it's not, so if you think you're too far, then you're not coming from as far as these Australian dudes. So we get Australians here. So it's an interesting sort of mix, and it's not pickup school. It's not PUA, you know, headquarters. It's not Project LA or whatever you want to call it. It's, you know, a lot of the people that come here are military. We get a lot of special forces and intelligence guys from all over the world. We get a lot of entrepreneurs. We also get a lot of college guys who are just like, I want to enjoy my 20s. I'm not messing around anymore. So divorced guys, married guys who want to up their social and networking game. So we do that here at the Art of Charm. And then our podcast, our free podcast, is available at The Art of Charm and also on pickuppodcast.com. There's like 200 hours of free audio. Jesus. And on pickuppodcast.com, where you can subscribe in iTunes as well. And that's like a serious commitment. A lot of guys are like, I listen to every episode. And I'm like, that's awesome, because that's like a full-time job for like, months at a time.
You're like, get out and start doing something, and then maybe listen to one a week. But yes, that's cool. So then, okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. But if anybody that is listening that is one of my guys that I love, because I love taking care of my guys. So if anybody is listening, what are you going to give them if they sign up to work with you? Do they get a special discount? What do they get?
Absolutely. I'll give them a couple $100 off depending on which program they want. So if they come from you and they're like looking for a 3-day, you know, I'll give them a couple $100 off. If they want the week long, I can give them even more. It just depends on the program and the pricing. I wish I could be more concrete with it.
That's perfect. Listen, yeah. I'm a Jew. I like getting discounts. So if I can pass that on to other people, that's amazing. And I'll just say that it's totally worthwhile. I can say that my cousin did do your program. He actually went back a second time because he enjoyed it so much and he got so much out of the experience. So, you know, I think you're great and what you do is great. So that discount is fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just let me know when they call up to ask about programs, when they want to do it. We run the program several times a month, so even though we're sold out like 6 months in advance right now, I can still squeeze guys in if there's specific dates and, you know, if they're local. Just basically, we're pretty flexible with working with people. It can be tough to get a seat, but, you know, we'll figure it out. And we let guys pay over time and stuff like that. So we're really, really flexible. Because the idea is, if you're already, like, serious about working on this stuff, you're willing to put your ego aside and everything, the last thing we want to do is make it like impossible for you to do because of tuition or whatever. So
that's awesome.
We like to do that. And of course the podcast itself is free. Just don't be one of those guys who's like, I'm going to listen to every episode and read all of the eBooks I can find on the internet before I do anything. Because I did that like 8 years ago. And then by the time I started doing stuff, I was a wealth of academic knowledge and totally useless when it came to interacting with actual human beings.
Exactly. You can get countless hours of information and believe that you can learn it all through osmosis, but it really starts to happen when you start practicing. So I like what you were saying before, that you and AJ went out for like a year, because that's what it takes. It doesn't take a year to see any results, but it takes a year to really like own a new behavior. And during that year, you have freaking amazing experiences and stories that you can share later on. So you got to get out and practice and put things into practice rather than just reading them and expecting to become a master overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like learning a language. I'm learning Mandarin Chinese right now.
And awesome.
It's coming along really well. And I have a conversation partner in China that I talk to for a couple hours a week. But then when I go to China, after a couple of days, I'm like, wow, I learned so much in the past couple of days. It's like studying for a month in America.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're putting it to practice. I love it. Well, thanks for doing this interview with me. I think you gave some really actionable advice. So just to go over it again, signs that she's into you, even when she's not talking to you, proximity, throwing things at you, I keep saying, or, you know, asking for directions when she doesn't really need to. Damsel in distress, I guess is what I'll call it.
Right.
Talking or over exaggerating and then, you know, touching you more than she needs to. So,
and remember, round up to 100.
Oh yeah, that's really important.
There's always going to be room to be like, well, she's touching me, but she's touching me like my cousin touches me, so probably not. No, okay, if it's not your cousin, she's into you. Just assume. Because you're never going to know otherwise.
Exactly, and let her so tell you that she's not into you.
It's so easy to rationalize your way out of doing stuff that you just need to realize that you're doing it and stop. Because the first step to not making excuses anymore is to realize like, okay, that is just an excuse for me not to do anything.
I love that. That's a perfect place to end this call today. Thanks, Jordan.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Marnie.